This is episode number 21 of DevOps Paradox with Darren Pope and Victor Farsik. I am Darren.
And I am Victor.
And if everything goes according to plan, you may actually see video. Now, my face is primarily blocked by other things, but you'll get to see Victor in all his glorious splendor. And if it doesn't work out, then at some point you'll know that we're going for video, but this one is a test. So if it's there, great. If not, great. You can still listen to our nice, sultry, warm voices. Hopefully while you're at the gym or walking around town or getting a coffee or tea. Why do I say all those things? Today we're going to talk about...
Are you nervous that you might be on a camera?
No, I'm never nervous. Well, I just don't ever look at the camera, but now I'm looking at the camera, if you're looking at me. We're going to talk about time management today. And we got this question, or actually Victor got the question. I haven't seen the official question, so Victor, why don't you take this?
Yes, so it's from Nevin, and he says, time management, how to organize your time for business, for work, for learning, for new things you want to try, etc., etc. And I honestly think that he sent it to a completely wrong person, me, because my time management means that I just don't sleep. I have no private life. I just work all the time.
So the no sleep thing, so for anybody that has ever worked with Victor, you'll understand it. But if you've never worked with Victor, in my early years, I actually toured with a band. So I'm used to the rock star lifestyle. So you get up at 10 or 11 in the morning, you do whatever it is, you do the gig at night. And then because you're still stoked from the day, you don't go to bed till 5 or 6 in the morning. That's pretty close to you. I can't do that because I wasn't the band. I was crew, so I actually had to work the whole time. I wasn't talent. I just made the talent look good. I wonder how this worked out here. I'm making Victor look good. No, it's time management for you, even though you're sort of poking holes at it, I believe your time management is so deeply ingrained in you that you don't even realize that you're doing it.
Yeah, that's quite possible. I do have a rhythm that I follow always. And so I never skip a day without writing something and, of course, spending time doing whatever I need to do for the company I work for CloudBees and, a bunch of other things. So I do probably have some schedule that is subconscious or ingrained in me. What I do think is important is that I never start something without finishing something.
Now see...
So for example, people ask me, oh, what's going to be your next book? How can I know what's going to be my next book if I'm still working on this one? And I cannot even start thinking about the next one because that would break my rule of... You have certain number of things in a pipeline and you cannot start anything new without finishing whatever you're doing.
Right. So you subscribe to the thought of, or not to the thought. Let me just say Kanban. It first and I'll figure out which way it is. Well, Kanban. Yeah. Stop starting and start finishing.
Yeah.
You know yourself well enough that, you know, if you start something else, you're going to be spun off and never finish the other thing.
Yeah, I mean, what's the point of having 5 things in progress instead of having 1 thing done?
Well, that's good. Unfortunately, I'm the other direction. I have, you know, anywhere from 3 to 5 things in flight at one time. And then, of course, the list keeps growing. So... sometimes it's harder for me to get things complete. Sometimes it's from external forces that, you know, force me to change up the plan. I get those things done, but then I'm stuck back to, I've only moved the needle a little bit on the other things. So basically what I need to do is subscribe to this and say, look, here's the one thing I'm doing till it's done.
Yeah, but the trick is that you cannot say, this is the thing I'm doing until it's done, and that thing is months of work. Mm-hmm. The point is to have to say, okay, this is the thing, or three things, or whatever number of things you want to choose. Those are the few things I'm working on, and I'm not going to do anything else until I finish. And those things are small enough that I can finish it in a reasonable amount of time.
So you chunk your work in...
Yeah, so
I just sizes say, that feel good.
I'm never going to say I'm not doing anything until I finish the book, because that would mean that I'm not doing anything for a year. That would be just silly, right?
Right.
But I can say, okay, I need to finish this chapter or this section or this paragraph or whatever that is. And until that is done, I'm not doing anything else. That, yes.
One thing that you said that was interesting was you never let a day go by without writing.
Yeah.
What is writing to you? I mean, some people say 500 words, 1,000 words, whatever it is. I mean, what is that rhythm for you?
I really never calculated the amount of words.
Well, it's not so much an amount of words, but you always hit some sort of minimum to where, like, okay, yeah, I've covered what I need to do for today.
Yeah, I mean,
is it something like that, or is it different?
In my case, since writing is technical, 80% of writing is actually figuring out stuff and writing code or commands. For some reason, text around those commands comes to me very easy. That's kind of like pim pam and it's done. Most of the time, it's actually code itself.
Which way do you go? Do you write code first?
Yes.
I actually know some of these answers based on helping proofread.
So, for example, if I take a chapter or an article or anything I write code first. Only code. I don't write a single word of text. Maybe some note, like kind of to do or something like that. But generally, I don't write any text until code is done and tested on at least 5, 6, 7 different platforms, variations and stuff like that. Because that's the hard part, right? Figuring out what to do is hard. Explaining what you did is easy if you know what you did. I believe that people who cannot explain what they did, they didn't do it well.
I agree. And what's interesting with that is that's the way I tend to break down. Now, it's my learning style gets back to tactile, right? So once I've done it, I can explain it easily. I'm not a book learner, so I've got to be able to do it. And that's the reason why, not that we're going to pitch your books, but we'll pitch your books. That's the reason why I like the toolkit series, is because it's very hands-on focused.
Because all those books are just text written around commands and code.
Examples. Yeah.
Yeah.
So if you were to... Now, writing is obviously your thing that's easy.
Yeah.
Right. Writing for me is not the most easy thing. I can do it, but I have to force myself. What's easy for me is creating audio, video, whatever the case may be. As I was once told, I've got a face for radio, and it was pretty much true. The thing that's interesting with, you know, chunking up your work. So you know how you're going to chunk your work based on fill in the blank, whether you've written a little chapter or you've, you know, got to-dos. We've talked Trello before. I mean, what is your toolkit when it comes to handling your time management?
It's Trello. I have a couple of things in my Trello board, and I wake up in the morning. I rarely really look at the Trello board because I keep in my head what I need to do. It would be strange if I couldn't keep three things in my head, right? So wake up, do it. Go to sleep, repeat.
Yep. So it's interesting that you said it would be weird if I couldn't keep three things in my head. My method is a little different. I don't use Trello or any of the other big services. I've been using something called Remember the Milk for years. And I just keep, that's where I keep all my long-term ideas and my near-term. But anything that's hot, meaning today, ends up on an actual physical paper planner. And I use one from a guy named Michael Hyatt called the Full Focus Planner. And the reason why year three was interesting is this planner is based around the big three things of today, right? There's three big things for the week, three big things for each day. So you're moving towards a goal. Your goal recently was to get 2.6 done. And you knew that you had three things roughly per day that you were going to, you had to get done. And if you got an extra, you got extras done, then that means you got to start on your adult beveraging earlier in the day.
Exactly.
Right. So that's fine. So I've found that the mix of digital and analog for me has actually helped me move closer towards, even though I've got multiple things spinning, helps me move towards my goals, because as things come off of Remember the Milk into my paper planner each day, or I try to plan out the week as best as I can. We release our episodes on every Wednesday morning at 6 a.m. Eastern. So I have a set of processes that I follow every Wednesday morning. So I go through and set up my Wednesdays already, knowing that, okay, I've got to close out whatever this week's release cycle was. Same thing with, it's the beginning of the month, so I've got to, you know, balance the checkbook before whatever, right? There's certain things where I can go and fill in. It's like, okay, these are the most important things for me to get done today. And it's mixing in that work and life. It all comes together for me. And that's the reason why I like the paper planner for that right now type stuff.
If I may interrupt, I always love the idea of having a board where I can write things. And I think that is brilliant. I would really like to do that, but I have a problem. And now you're going to think that I'm joking. I don't know how to write with my hand. And I'm really not joking. My daughter is making a huge fuss about it these days. I know how to write in capital letters and very slowly.
Slowly.
Yeah, I didn't. The other day we were trying to figure out when was the last time I wrote anything on a paper, and then it was, excluding signatures, it was like 30 years ago when I was in school.
Maybe you need to start doing that again. That would be a good thing.
I know, it would be great if I could have a board next to me and write things. I know, it would be brilliant, but it's embarrassing. I need to ask my daughter to teach me how to write small letters and, you know, yeah, nicely.
That's okay. That's a kid's job, is to teach you how to write. they're closer to it. They're learning it now, so they can reteach it real fast. Now, one thing, but what's interesting though, is you're talking about, it'd be great to have a board behind you. And ignoring that you can't write. How often would you actually get to use it? And this is one of the things about time management that I think is critical, is you travel a lot. I travel a lot. So we have to figure out how to get things done in the margins. You know, I've got 20 minutes here. I've got an hour here. I've got 5 minutes.
Yeah.
And being able to decide what to do. How do you figure out how to do those margin times, primarily on the road? Because that's usually where the hardest time comes in.
I don't sit down to work if I'm not going to be able to do, let's say, half an hour of work. If it's smaller chunks than that, then I watch Netflix.
Okay. That's fair.
To me, it's, you know, the
so
time.
You need a minimum of an hour.
Yes.
To feel like you're getting something done.
Yes, because you know, I need a bit of time to get into whatever I'm doing, and I need a bit of time to calm down, and so if there is, you know. If it's 15 minutes of work, how much of that those 15 minutes is a productive work? 5, right? Or whatever right. the amount is. But it's not the full time. So the loss of, you know, I would rather for 15 minutes or let's say for half an hour, I would rather see an episode on Netflix than spend half an hour with having 10 minutes productive something.
Right. And that's actually a key part because that's how you're decompressing and, you know, saving up time for when you have that hour. It's like, oh, do I write or do I watch Netflix? The answer is going to be obvious at that point. I'm going to write.
Yeah.
Or whatever that is.
Exactly. I mean, maybe that's the, now when I think about it, that might be the key is that I don't really watch much Netflix or have much distractions when I start working because I do all those distractions when I don't have enough time to work. I don't even answer emails from my phone, for example, unless it's urgent. You know, if you tell me the world is ending, I'm going to answer. But outside of that, until I sit in front of my computer, I'm not answering even emails. I can answer in 10 seconds. It's not that I cannot, but until I sit down somewhere, there is no work.
I think that's also a part of time management. You just sort of glossed over it, but you don't answer emails. So you've probably shut down a number of the distractions, or you've minimized them to where, you know, your family can get to you, but that's pretty much it.
Yeah. So when I start working on a task X, whatever the task is. Mm-hmm. And during that time, there is no Slack, no email, nothing. I'm just fully focused on that. I even put my headphones, so if my daughter starts screaming, I don't even hear that until that is finished. And he never has a task more than an hour long or something like that. Until I'm finished, the world does not exist. And then comes all the, you know, break with answering emails or whatever you need to do. Some silly tasks. It can be still related to work, to job, right? There's always a bunch of tasks, job-related tasks that are silly, fast and stuff like that. But until I finish the task at hand, the world does not exist.
So basically, you're using Pomodoro, but your Pomodoros are an hour. Instead of
more or less.
The magical 25-minute,
yes, whatever the time. And another thing is that, and most people don't have that benefit because most people work in an office. If I'm not productive, if nothing good comes out of my head, I just stop working.
Right. Now, when you stop working, what do you do? Netflix.
Is one, Netflix, I guess. You know, maybe play cards with my daughter or maybe go for a walk, eat. I don't know. It can be anything, right? But it's pointless to spend time on working when you're not productive. Because then you waste your energy even more and then you're not, if you have an unproductive hour, working during that hour will not make the next hour more productive. It will just make it less productive. So it's kind of like almost like a never-ending loop. You need to break that loop, to stop doing whatever you're doing. And, you know, when it comes back and you say, yeah, I feel like I want to finish this thing now, then you come back and do it. Now, of course, that does not count when I'm visiting a customer. I don't tell them, you know, for an hour, I don't feel like for talking to you. But when it's homework, yes.
Yeah, that would not be not conducive to billing properly. If you just say, hey, I need to take a break for a few hours. I'll see you when I get back. Or, hey, can we start again tonight at 10 o'clock? That would be great.
Exactly.
And that is actually an interesting thing. So you know when to power down. And this goes back to, I'm going to throw out the career episode again. We didn't really dig into it so much in that episode. But it was to think that you're going to be hyper-productive at 60, 80 hours a week of quote-unquote work. A lot of that time may have just been your butt in a chair.
Nobody's productive 60 hours a week. sitting in an office for 10 hours is not the same thing as having 10 hours of productive work.
Right.
So I, you know, going off the rails here a little bit, but people that used to, and I fall into this trap too. In fact, I worked with a guy one time. He was at a client. He was billing 120 hours a week. Now, mind you, there's only 168 hours in a week. And finally, somebody called him on the carpet for it and said, hey, look, there's no way you're working 120 hours. And he says, well, I'm there 120 hours. He says, I'm there 20 hours, 6 days a week.
I mean, if that's the calculation, when I work from home, assuming that I don't go out to cine or supermarket, I actually work 24/7 using that logic.
So it's time is, I think what I'm trying to say here is time management does not equal productivity. I think time management helps with productivity, but it's not equivalent.
But it's, you know, it surprises me how, and I'm probably wrong with what I'm going to say, but I hear a lot of people having trouble how to, you know, organize their work time and stuff like that. And the first thing that comes to my mind always is that, do you even like doing that? Because normally it's relatively easy to find time and organize yourself when you're doing what you like. Nobody complained about, oh, I cannot organize myself to go to movies, and I love doing that, right? I have impression that whenever people ask, how do I organize my time doing this? What is missing from that sentence is that because I don't really like it.
Yep. I would tend to agree with that. You will find the time to do what you want. You will fill the time to do what you don't want to do. Sort of like cleaning the bathroom. One of my least favorite things to do. It always goes to the bottom of the list. And it's always sitting there staring at me in the face. Sometimes literally. But
that's another thing. And I saw a tweet, I cannot remember from him, from whom recently. Paraphrasing now. You and me, Brent, and many people in our industry, we earn decent money, we can afford stuff. Mm-hmm. And we work many of us work a lot for it. So the best thing I can do with that money is actually to stop doing things I don't necessarily like. I don't like cleaning my house, so I'm paying somebody to come and clean my house. I'm fortunate, I understand that. Many people are not, that I can afford that. But I do, because that frees my time to do things I like more, which happen to be as lucrative as it is expensive for me to, let's say that it costs me the same to pay somebody to clean my house as what I would earn during that time doing something else. So right. I'm going to do something else.
Yes, because you don't like cleaning the house. My version of that is I don't mind cleaning the house. It's not at the very, very bottom, but the thing I really dislike is taking care of my yard. So I pay somebody else to take care of my yard for me. The joys of living out in the country. But it's, you know, it's leverage. We talked about this too. I hire an accountant. I could do my accounting. I just don't want to keep up with it. The rules change too much on that. I'd rather do my lawn than do accounting. Or taxes from that perspective. But you know, so all of these things around time management, but one of the things he asks is, what is the new things we like to try? I think one of the biggest things I've tried and I have liked is going analog for keeping my today stuff. What about you?
I don't know. I mean, I change what I like very often. That's why I write books, because they're kind of my way to go deeper into something. But I don't know what I would like to do next, if that's the question. What I do know is that I feel sorry for people who do the same job over and over again.
That's probably one of the most miserable things I could think of. Now, some people like that comfort. Right? I know exactly what I'm going to do today. I'm going to show up at 8. I'm going to go home at 5. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. And I have to admit, there's parts of me that would say, boy, that would be nice for a couple of weeks. But then I know I'd get bored.
So the question might be, do you consider what you're doing in software some form of playing, like playing games, like children playing games, right? And at least that's how I see what I do. I don't see it much different than when my daughter plays with some toys, right? And if that is a parallelism, then show me a kid that is happy playing with the same toy for a long time.
Man, once the kid gets the box open and the toy is out of the box, you've got about 5 minutes.
Exactly.
They're going to start playing with the box. Right? I mean, then they're going to go back and start playing with the thing that isn't the toy.
Yeah. But the point is that I'm trying to make is that playing with things is by definition something that lasts for relatively short period of time. Hours, days, weeks, maximum. So, and if what we were doing is consider playing in a way, then it would be strange if you don't change interest. If you don't change what often interests you often, yeah.
What else about time management? We're getting close to the time here.
Somebody needs to figure out how to make the day longer. There's not enough hours in it.
And some days it feels like it can never end. Yeah. The days we don't want it to end, it ends too soon. The days we need it to end, it never finishes.
Exactly.
So let's call that good for the moment. I think this was always a good one to revisit. And I think we may get some more questions around time management, because the way that you, it's not so much time management, it's how you assign work to yourself. Let's call it that. And then you build your time schedule around that. I mean, that's sort of, because it gets back to your day job and writing. That's your primary things other than your daughter.
Yeah.
Right?
So let's say that those are four things that I want to do or need to do throughout the day. Do something for my company, do something outside, the professional outside of what I do for my company, spend some time with my daughter, and maybe one or two things more. You don't need the Trello board to remember those four things.
No. Okay. So this is normally the part of the show where we talk about your books, but hey, all the books are out now.
All the books are out. And I'm tired of writing. I'm not going to write anything for a couple of months. It's been too much.
So now you've got to start marketing what you've written.
No, I'm terrible at that. I never marketing my stuff. I mean, I put a tweet.
You're not terrible at it, but it's not your favorite.
No, I put a tweet and a LinkedIn, and I almost feel ashamed from doing that. I really don't like
marketing.
I dislike people doing marketing or selling me something. I really dislike that when that is done to me, and then somehow that translates in, I don't want to do that to others, kind of like, buy my book. I mean, I do mention, you know, kind of like, I have a book, but I don't think that anybody ever saw me brag about them.
All right, let me help you on this, because this is the same conversation I have with my wife, because she also has a number of books out, and she has one that she's finishing right now that we've got to get out in the next. I think we're shooting for end of October. You've got something that you've spent your time on. And if what you're saying is, okay, I just spent this last 6 months, 9 months creating this stuff, but nobody really needs to read it. I would disagree with you on that. I think you've got something good. Now, whether it's $5, $1, or $30, right? Doesn't matter. People like hearing from you. I'm speaking directly to you right now.
Yeah.
So I'm going to stare at the camera at the same time. It's okay. It's fine. People enjoy how you write. People enjoy how you present. It's okay. I know it smells nasty. You don't like the marketing part of it. It's okay. Just it's say, only, hey, I got this book.
It's not only about smelling nasty. It's also about, you know, going back to you mentioned cleaning toilets. What I want to do is do something else.
Yeah. So if you could, so you also have another friend that is also an author. He hates the marketing part of it. Enough to the point to where, you know, he just doesn't do it. And then he complains. Now, he is an author full time. That is his day and night job. And he complains he doesn't have any money. It's like, okay, look, if you're not going to have another job that helps sort of float the other thing, you should consider, you know, getting another job.
No, I disagree with that. I think that should consider doing the same thing what you said that you're doing with your taxes. Find somebody who you're good at writing, right? Outsource it. Let somebody else do the marketing for your book because that's not your forte. You start writing a new one and let somebody else. And probably by you writing more because you're spending less time on marketing, then that would compensate the expense of paying somebody to do that part.
I think
and
the key
part. And you're boosting the economy.
And boosting the economy. And that's what I was going to say is if you think you can do it all yourself, this is always the founder, what I call the founder fallacy. Founders typically think, oh, I can do it all. I can write all the code. I can do all the billing. I can do all. You might be able to. It'll take you 10 years to get there and everything will have already changed around you. Or you could have a very small team. Doesn't mean you have to be full-time employed. But you find the right people that can catch that vision and help you move the things across the line and finish and just finish.
But it's almost kind of contradictory that you say, let's say books, sir, but that applies to anything else. I'm writing books because I like doing that to begin with, but also because I want to help others do things better instead of spending months investigating something, they can read a book. Excellent. So why not apply that to your work as well? Let somebody else help you with whatever you're not good at.
And usually the argument that comes back, well, I don't have the money to do that.
Oh, no. Okay. You live in the second most capitalistic country in the world. You know that you need money to make money.
Yep. Well, to an extent, that's true. But yes. I know that I can't do graphics. That's why I outsource graphics. I can write. I can talk. Would I ever want to create slides? No. Ugh, no. Let somebody else do that. But anyway, okay, so this is the book section. So if you want links to the books, they're down below. If you have any questions or comments about this episode, you can reach out to us on the Slack team, DevOps20. That's DevOps, the number 2 and the number 0. Sign up for a free account. The link to sign up is below as well. And also, if you want to leave us a voice message with your question, you can do that using Voxer. You can set up a free personal account, add DevOps Paradox, all one word, as a contact, and you can leave us a message there. Again, the links to the books, the Slack workspace, and the Voxer account are down in the description. And we haven't done a very good job in time management closing this episode up. So how do we do
most this? Of the time, we don't end the episode with the subject we started anyway, right?
No, I know. That's fine. But that's why we do what we do. And that statement made no sense in context anywhere, but hey, it filled some air.
That's like a magician. Look at this hand, and then something else pops out.
Something else,
from the other one.
So you do. Here, let's use video. So look at this hand. Wait, look at this hand, but not this hand. Okay, whatever. All right. Thanks for listening to episode number 21 of DevOps Paradox.